Hi, I'm Cecilia Poulin, mother of two, ex-lawyer, ex-banker, writer, singer, creator of one-woman shows, international coach for professional women, international keynote speaker, breaker of conventions, and believer in creativity and the power of the feminine in all of us to change the world. Welcome to Diary of a Writer, where I talk about how I write, and read some of what I write. I really hope you enjoy it, and that it encourages you to develop your own creativity in whatever form that may take. Today's episode is quite different from the others. On Friday, I was talking to the head of human resources in one of the big automotive companies. And we were talking about innovation, and she was talking about how they'd had done a lot about innovation and then in fact most of their efforts had failed. And that started me thinking. And so this morning, instead of writing my book, I spent the entire morning and doing all the other things that I should have been doing. I spent the entire morning writing an article, which I've just posted on LinkedIn, about innovation and creativity. So here it goes. When I was a young lawyer working one of the big French banks, I would regularly be invited to meetings with the head and the vice head of the department and my boss and various other people. The meetings would be held in the office of the head of the department. He would sit at one end of the long table and the vice head would sit at the other. I had to present the particular financial instrument I was working on, and everyone else would make comments. Nothing in these meetings helped me to think. If there was anything I hadn't understood, I would be filled with embarrassment. When anyone asked me a question, I was filled with dread, even if I actually knew the answer. It felt like a tribunal. Last Friday, I was talking to the head of HR in one of the large automotive companies. She was telling me that all their attempts to encourage innovation had, by and large, failed. This got me wondering. I believe that the role of a coach is to help their clients move from their primitive brain, where judgment, blame, and fear live, into their creative brain, where possibility, potential, and innovation live. I know from my own experiences at work, like those meetings at the French bank, and from my clients, that there is a ton of fear out there. We are often very good at hiding it. During the financial crisis, for example, my stress levels were high. But when I mentioned it to my boss, she was surprised. It didn't show. People aren't feeling anxious, worried, judged, or blamed all day, every day, luckily, but it is certainly present. And it's there because that is how the system is built. This is how it works. If I make a really big mistake at work, I have a choice. I can try to hide it. I can try to fix it on my own. Or I can fess up. My boss will probably find out anyway, so I'm better off fessing up. My boss will then judge me. That is human nature. If it's a really big mistake with major consequences, she might decide to sack me. And her job might be on the line as well, in which case it is in her interests to blame me in order to keep her own job, which she needs to pay the mortgage and feed her children. If it's a less major mistake, she might raise it during my annual review to explain why I haven't been given a raise or why I didn't get that promotion. It will have negative consequences on me. Her natural reaction is to blame me, because otherwise the negative consequences might fall on her. She is being judged by her boss, who is being judged by his boss, and so it goes all the way up to the CEO. And the CEO is being judged by the shareholders. We are all being judged all the time on our performance. That's how the system works. This has a couple of consequences. The first is that it's the most confident, and not necessarily the most competent, who get to the top. Thomas Chamorro Primozic goes into this in detail in his book, Why Do So Many Incompetent Men Become Leaders and How to Fix It? Confidence is what it takes to be able to live with higher and higher expectations, more and more pressure. You need to have an awful lot of confidence to resist all that judgment. If people are feeling nervous or worried, the likelihood is that they will get better and better at their current job and not take the risk of taking on more responsibility because it feels so awful to be found wanting or to make mistakes. Many women do this. The second consequence is that people are spending an awful lot of time in their fear and judgment brain and not in their creative brain. If we are being judged and blamed and are judging and blaming others, we can't turn around in a second and become innovative. We haven't developed the right brain muscles. So many people have spent so much of their lives being cautious at work. And this is the rational and sensible thing to do because they need to keep their job. We need to get very clear about what we mean by innovation. The term is often slung around as something that is worthwhile without being clear about exactly what the goal is. Are we talking about market disruptive products, different ways of working, doing what we do already, but better? For the purposes of this article, I will only look at incremental change, where the question is, how do we do what we are already doing, but better? If that is the question, then managers, and in fact everybody, need to get very good at moving the people around them out of fear and judgment into creativity. And the rubber will hit the road when there are problems and mistakes. When someone has a problem or has really stuffed up, the very first thing to do is to acknowledge the feelings. There is probably upset, disappointment, annoyance, and anger. People who make mistakes generally feel pretty bad about it. People around them can also feel annoyed or angry. There can be a ton of feelings. The quicker those feelings can be acknowledged and named on both sides, the quicker it is possible to move out of them into rational thought and problem solving. A manager might say, for example, I know I shouldn't be, and it's not helpful, but I'm actually pretty angry with you right now. And I can imagine that you might be feeling disappointed and upset and maybe annoyed with yourself. Is that right? The next step is to follow a classic coaching framework. I learnt this one from The Leader Lab by Tanya Luna and Leanne Renninger, and I use it all the time. It goes like this. So the acronym is SOON. The S is, what is your idea of success, or what do you want to achieve? O is, what are the obstacles? The second O is, what are the options? And the N is, what is the next step? And there we have it, right there in the third question. When we ask, what are the options, we are inviting someone to use their creativity. An alternative way of asking the same thing is, what have you already tried that hasn't worked? Or, what have you never tried before? This forces people to move out of the known into the unknown. In other words, to create. So if managers can first acknowledge feelings, then help their teams to think through errors and problems in order to come up with solutions they have never thought of before, the organization will automatically become more innovative. This may take time. When I was a young lawyer, if I had the head of the legal department ask me to provide options, I would have been like a rabbit in the headlights. There is no way I would have been able to think creatively or constructively in his presence. Our relationship was distant. There was no trust there. Innovation is also about building relationships and trust so that people are able to think. No wonder innovation is hard. It requires consistently keeping at bay the judgment, blame, and fear that are hard-baked into every level of the system. It requires consistently creating space in which the feelings of disappointment and upset that come up when things go wrong can be acknowledged, and providing a framework so that people can move out of judgment and blame into creativity and innovation. Like anything, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes practice. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Diary of a Writer. I'm running an absolutely free group coaching session on the 9th of May at 6:30 p.m. Central European Time. This session is part of my Dancing Days series where we dig deep on a particular emotion. We have already danced with fear and with anger, and this time we are going to be dancing with joy. If you have ever felt miserable and wondered how to have more joy in your life, you will find this session to be of enormous benefit. Check out the Dancing Days Dancing with Joy page on my website, www.ceciliapoulin.com. I would love it if you could join us. Thank you so much for listening.